With your permission, this Shabbat, Parashat HaShavua is Parashat Truma. Et HaKadosh Baruch Hu told Moshe Rabbeinu that he wants voluntarily people to give so-called charity to build a Mishkan in the desert. And the first question is, what is the reason HaKadosh Baruch Hu needs it for? You don't need it. What do you need it for? He says, of course, HaKadosh Baruch Hu dwells in the Mishkan, he dwells in the Beit HaMikdash, but really, Hashem dwells everywhere. Hashem is everywhere. So you don't need to designate a place it's called Beit HaMikdash or the Mishkan and go there. And the second question is, if it's such a necessary thing, so why should you give it as a voluntarily? He said, like you have those membership in shul. Moshe Rabbeinu should come and should say, everybody, you have to give for the Mishkan as much as Moshe Rabbeinu. He will decide how much has to be given. And then you build the Mishkan, if it's something that Hashem needs so much. By the way, the Haftarah that Bezat Hashem is going to read, that's what Shlomo did. Shlomo made a person, his name was Adoniram, and he used to be so-called a collector of taxes. And from this they built Beit HaMikdash, part of it. Here, Kadosh Baruch Hu here tells us in the Torah, Kol Nediv Lev, Kol Nediv Libo. It says, you know, whatever your heart tells you, you bring. It says, if this is something that it's very necessary, and maybe it's one of the 630 mitzvot to build a Mishkan, to build a Beit HaMikdash, so it should be an obligation, should be a due, that Moshe Rabbeinu said, you have to do it. It says, you don't have to do it, it's so if you, whatever you want. What do you mean, whatever you want? If that's what Hashem wants, so you push them, don't push them. With your permission, I would like to go to Megillat Esther. This is chapter 3. And according to some Chachamim in the Gemara, the first two chapters of Megillat Esther are not, if we may say, nice words, not as important. That one of the opinions in the Gemara is that really what you have to hear or read on Purim is beginning of chapter 3. That's really so-called the action starts. Until chapter 3, the Megillah told you about the party of Ahasuerus, and then that Ahasuerus is looking for a wife, and he got married to a wife. This is mainly the first two chapters. Yet really it's not necessary to know, unless there's a secret why it was written by Mordechai Esther. But chapter 3, this is when the action starts. And the chapter starts, that Ahasuerus, by no reason, told Haman that he is going to be the head of the regime, of the Iranian regime. Haman had no experience. He used to be a barber. Not only used to be a barber, he used to work so-called in bathhouses and make warm the water, clean up. No experience in nothing. Years before, he used to take care of horses. Had no idea how to run a country. Sounds familiar? I didn't want to say this name here. In the respect of Mr. Rafi Levy, I don't want to mention his name in this house. Thank you for the tea. So Haman had no experience in anything, did not know anything. He was very rich. The way the Gemara tells us, since creation, we had two rich people since creation that nobody ever can come close to them. The first one that we do know it was Korah in the Torah, and the second one is Haman. Come on, Hamim tell us, how did Haman become so rich? He didn't invent windows. I says, what did he do? He says, Haman was a soldier in the army of the Nebuchadnezzar that destroyed Beit HaMikdash. And when he entered Yerushalayim, he went to Beit HaMikdash together with the army of Nebuzaradan, and he was so-called lucky enough to find the treasures of the kings in the first Beit HaMikdash. He had few wagons, filled them up with all kind of gold and jewels, went back home. He became so-called the richest person in the world ever. Him and Korach. Korach was a Jew, of course Haman is a goy. Nevertheless, the description of the party of Achashverosh and the prophecy of Daniel, that in his book he writes that so-called the fourth king is going to be very rich, that he referred to Achashverosh. So Achashverosh really doesn't need anything from Haman. The opposite, we're going to see in a minute that Haman is going to come to Achashverosh. He wants to give him an enormous amount of so-called silver because he wants Achashverosh to agree with him to destroy Chas v'Shalom Am Yisrael. Achashverosh says, I don't need your money, I don't need your silver, I don't need nothing, I have plenty. But out of the whole story, Achashverosh goes to Haman and tells Haman, Gidal HaMelech Achashverosh Haman Ben Amdat HaAgagi Vayin Yaseu Vayasem Et Kiso Me'al Kol Asarim Asher Yitron. Says the Megillah that Achashverosh went to Haman and told Haman, listen, like you join the government, and not only to be the head of the government, I'm going to make you a chair. That your chair is going to be even higher than my chair. So when they're sat in the Oval Office, so Haman's chair was so-called the highest. I says, what is this? Why do you make it? What do you have from this guy? He had no experience. He doesn't know what he's talking about. The man is really what we call low life. Why are you elevating him? No one knows. Of course, at the end of the shoe, maybe we'll try to find out. But in the Megillah and the Mefarshim, they said, well, maybe because he was rich, but they also said, well, is he rich? He doesn't need any money from him. Haman did not give anything to the government. And the opposite, when he wanted to donate something, Achashverosh told, I don't need. And the Megillah will tell you, look how far it goes. Achashverosh ordered everybody to bow down to Haman. There's no information anybody bow down to Achashverosh. But the Megillah says that Achashverosh said, whoever sees Haman on the street has to be flat on the street. I says, what is this for? So you want to give him a job in the government? Fine. You want people to know about him and respect him? Fine. But to ask everybody to be on the floor for Haman, very strange. Comes the Megillah, and Megillah will tell you, anybody's on the floor besides one person, Mordechai. He's not on the floor. He's not on the floor. Purposely, when Haman passes by, he stands straight. In the Megillah, Achashverosh's servants came to Mordechai and says, listen, I want to explain to you something. Forget about if you want or you don't want. This is a law now in Iran. It's a law. It's a law that everybody has to bow down. It's not because you respect Haman or you have to do it for Haman. The king said, Achashverosh said, you have to bow down. So how come you don't bow down? So the Megillah will tell you that Mordechai said, well, Haman carries on him a statue. And therefore, I'm not going to bow down to him because it means I bow down to a statue. Okay, so Mordechai, you know what? Every time Haman has to come, when you see the first motorcycle come, disappear. You have to stand up over there and protest. And by the way, Olam Israel, soon, when the Gezerah of Haman will come, that they'll find out that Haman made this Gezerah to destroy Olam Israel, they came to Mordechai and they said, it's your fault. This is because Haman saw you all the time. And every time Haman saw you, you didn't budge. And Haman got upset. And this is what we are now in trouble because of you. And on the Chachamim says, Mordechai, what is the problem? What is the problem? You don't fight city hall. You don't fight the government. You don't fight customs. He says, you stay away from these people. You stay away from them. He says, I'm sorry, you run away. He says, don't just stand on the street. Every time Haman comes, Mordechai stands up straight. Of course he has some kind of dignity, he has some kind so-called relationship with Achashverosh, he saved his life, doesn't matter, you don't start off with Haman. Says the Megillah that Haman is very upset, Haman is very upset, and he's going to go to Achashverosh. He's going to ask him to destroy all of Israel. Says the Gemara, before the notices came out that Haman chose a day, before he chose a day, already Mordechai already knew what's going on, and Mordechai tore his clothing, put some ashes on his head, is going towards the palace. He says, well, what's the wrong? So he says, I know already. Says the Gemara, he had a dream, and in the dream, somebody appeared to him in a dream, probably was Eliyahu Nabi, told him about the Gezerah, and he's very upset. The Gezerah is to destroy all of Israel the following year on the 13th day of Chodesh Adar. It means like this. Says the Megillah, you know, Haman was very smart. He was a little bit magician also as well. But he was afraid to start with the Jewish people. So he made himself a lotto to find out what's the best month that he has a chance to make a holocaust of all the Jews in one day. And the lotto came that the best thing is next Chodesh Adar, that he is now at Nisan. So it means in another 11 months he's going to send execution notices and people would kill the Jews. Mordechai knows today, but again, today is nothing is going to happen today. Now we are before Pesach here, still. And in another 11 months, there's going to be the execution day. In the meantime, Mordechai is already on the street, torn clothing, wears a sack, has ashes on his head, goes towards the palace. Says the Megillah that the girls, that the servants of Esther saw him from through the window, or through, they went downstairs, and they went, they told Esther, see this rabbi? You know this rabbi? Of course they don't know that Esther is a relative of Mordechai. Says this rabbi is acting very strange. Esther sends somebody to Mordechai, and Mordechai tells him, listen, go to Esther, this is the story, there's an execution notice is coming now, and we are in danger. Says the Gemara that Eliyahu Navi came to Mordechai and told him, you should know that the reason why Haman really wants to kill Am Israel is because they went to the party of Ahasuerus and they bowed down to a statue in the time of the Nebuchadnezzar, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu, so-called Chas V'Shalom, agreed with these execution notices, and there is nothing to do. Not only that, the Gemara says that Eliyahu HaNavi went to Hebron, to Marat HaMachpelah, and the Gemara says, you should know Abraham, Yitzchak and Yaakov are not dead. That daily Eliyahu HaNavi comes to Marat HaMachpelah, wakes them up, washes the hands, and they pray Milcha. This is really the Kavanah that we say in Shemoneh Esrei three times a day, Umekayim Emunato Lishenei Afar, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu fulfills his promise to the one that are sleeping. So who is sleeping? He says sleeping downstairs in the sewer. So who are they? Who do you refer to? So Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov. Says the Gemara, and we went to Hebron and told Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov, you know, your children are in danger. And they said, what did they do? He said, well, they went to the party of Achashverosh and bowed down to a statue. Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov says, we have nothing to say. He says, what you got to do? He says, we don't know what to do. Says the Gemara that the Eliyahu Navi went to Moshe Rabbeinu and spoke to Moshe Rabbeinu. He says, listen, your nation is in danger. And Moshe said, you know what? If you have anybody downstairs can pray, let him pray downstairs and I'll pray over here. So maybe Hashem will help us. But again, the execution notice, it comes from Haman. Of course, Haman doesn't like us. Of course, Haman doesn't like Mordechai. But the reason for that is not because Haman wants it. It's because the Gemara says, Am Israel did not behave. Okay, but they don't behave. So if that's what Mordechai knows, that they don't behave, of course, what you got to do is you have to pray to Hashem. This has nothing to do with it. You send Esther to Ahasuerus, and you tell Esther, go to Ahasuerus and beg him to cancel the decision. He is just a tool, Ahasuerus. Haman is really the executioner. But really, what drives him is so-called the time Israel did not behave. So if you want to tear a bad gezerah, a bad decision of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, this has nothing to do with you go to Washington. When you go to Washington, it says the guy in Washington, you know, he said he can do this, he can do that. But if you know that he said he can do this, he can do that because Am Yisrael did not behave properly, so there's nothing to go to Washington. This is first you have to go to Yerushalayim and ask HaKadosh Baruch Hu for forgiveness. And then HaKadosh Baruch Hu will do the job. But this is nothing to do with you go, you know, with buses to Washington, ask the, you know, the senators and the Congress, says, listen, do this to Israel, do this to Israel. You're right. If you have a very bad president, or you have a bad congressman, then you go. But if you know that Eliyahu HaNavi will come to somebody and says, listen, this is the thing, what's going on in Israel is because people don't behave over there, they won't have to go to Washington. Because what you have to do is you have to do a repair job in Israel. Here in the Megillah, you see that Mordechai is going, and Esther is going to try to find out how come he tore his clothing. I don't know why he tore his clothing. Soon we'll find out, maybe. And Mordechai will tell Esther, you know what you got to do? You got to go. You have to go to Ahasuerus. You have to go to Ahasuerus and beg him. Which is what I mean, beg him. But you're asking her to beg him. Beg him won't help anything. So even if you would cancel today, tomorrow is going to be a new thing. If the reason is because Am Yisrael did something wrong, so you have to convince her first. No. Esther is very smart. Esther says to Ahasuerus, to Mordechai, I will go in, even though I was not called to go in, and because I wasn't called to go in, if I will go without permission, Ahasuerus might kill me. But you know what? Why don't you do a ta'anit 3 days? 3 days don't eat. If you don't eat 3 days, then I'll go to Ahasuerus. And let's see, Megillah will tell you that she goes over there, and she they fasted for 3 days of Israel, and she went to Ahasuerus. And Baruch Hashem, Ahasuerus is going to wave the gezerah. And the question, of course, is why you have to do ta'anit 3 days? Why three? Why not four? One is enough usually, one day ta'anit. And what is really behind the whole thing that you have to do ta'anit? So we all do know that the holiday of Purim is a very special holiday. How special it is? Says the Gemara, this halacha being brought in the Rambam halacha, and the Mashiach will come, all the holidays are going to be cancelled. I mean, no Rosh Hashanah, no Yom Kippur, no Shavuot, no Pesach, no Shavuot, no Sukkot, no Chanukah, nothing. Not even Halloween. Nothing. This is the only holiday we're going to have is Purim. This is, must be a tremendous job on Purim. Tremendous job on Purim. That all the holidays that you have in the Torah are going to be cancelled. Not only that, there's another halacha. The halacha in the Gemara in the Shulchan Aruch, that if someone, for example, he knows he has to go on a trip, doesn't matter what trip, it can be a pleasure trip. He's going to Alaska, he's going to the North Pole, he's going to the moon. He's going to be there on Purim. Of course, there's no Bet Chabad over there. Not yet on the moon. And there's no Megillat Esther. So, what are you going to do? So, if you take this question for any other holiday, let's say you have to be on the moon on Pesach, on Shavuot, on Sukkot, on Rosh Hashanah, that something has to be done. For example, Pesach, you have to eat matzah. Sukkot, you have to build Sukkah. Rosh Hashanah, you need Shofar. Hanukkah, you need Hanukkah candles. See, now you're not going to have it there. So you're not going to have it, you're not going to have it. You had to go. You wanted to go, it's so, doesn't matter. So you missed it. There's no such thing, before you go on a trip, you want to do it. Means, you know, Hanukkah, you're going to be someplace, you won't be able to get oil or candles. You know what? A few days before Hanukkah, let me light a Hanukkah menorah. No such thing. I won't be able to hear Shofar or Shoshana because Rosh Hashanah I'll be in a place that no Shofar. I want to blow the Shofar before Shoshana. No such thing. This is the calendar. And according to the calendar, we have a Shulchan Aruch, we have the Rambam, we have the Torah. The Torah says the holiday goes on that day and this is this day. And you can't move it from the calendar. And Simon Chachamim said Chanukah is on the 25th of Kislev, so So it's the 25th of Kislev. You can light the Hanukkah candle on the 24th and the 23rd. Purim is different. Purim, from Rosh Chodesh Adar, as of last Monday, 2 days ago, if you know on Purim you'll be away someplace. You will not have Megillah. You'll have to read the Megillah already. And it's called you fulfill the mitzvah. So of course, maybe when Mordechai and Esther made this halacha to read the Megillah, maybe they made it this way, but they didn't. They didn't. Nevertheless, you see that's called a reflector. It means that the Purim has such a high energy that the Purim will stay forever, even after Mashiach will come, while all the other days will be cancelled. Since Purim is so strong that the energy of Purim goes back all the way up to Rosh Chodesh, in case you be away on Purim, you can read the Megillah before Purim. That's unheard such a thing. Unheard such a law. Must be a very big thing. This is what is really the secret of this Megillah, or what is this Chag, this holiday. By the way, you should know, is one of the Chachamim about 200 years ago, Chatam Sofer, he writes in his book that whoever stays up the night of Purim and learn from after reading the Megillah at night till the morning reading, he is guaranteed this man has Olam Haba. No such a guarantee. There's no such thing, a guarantee, that somebody can tell you, I guarantee you Olam Haba. No such thing. He writes in his book that he heard it from his Rebbe, and says that's how important it is Purim. If you go to Boropath on the night of Purim, there's a lot of Bet Knesset. At 12 o'clock at night, they start saying Tehillim the whole night until the morning. Again, this is comply with this Chatam Sofer to tell you how great this holiday is. Now comes the Gemara with the statement, you should know that how big excuse me, you know, somebody came to Rav Shach one time and asked Rav Shach that maybe the ladies should learn how to do CPR. Rav Shach said, no, don't teach the ladies. He says, you know why? Because if you teach the ladies, they will have to do more CPR. The more doctors you have, more sick people you get. It says if you dig into those things, you see it's from Shamayim. It says if you learn to become a doctor, you're going to have patients. It says if you're not going to have a doctor, nobody's going to get sick. It says you create so-called the thing. It says the more, somebody wrote in the newspaper, it says the more people buy raincoats, more rain you'll have. He says, Mr. Levy makes me a tea, so I start coughing. If I wouldn't have the tea, I wouldn't cough. So now I have a tea. So this holiday of Purim is so big that the halachot of Purim is so important to fulfill. So Chachamim says, what is this? What's behind this? What's really behind this Purim? So Ari says the following. You know, we have a mitzvah next Shabbat. So we're going to take another Torah. And we have to read the paragraph that talks about remember Amalek. On the text when you read it. This is the nation Amalek, this is Esav's grandson, arrived when we came out of Egypt and wanted to destroy all of us. Says the Torah, you should know that Hashem hates him so much מלחמה להשם בעמלק מדור דור. God hates him. So therefore, Hashem gave us three mitzvot. Mitzvah number one, to remember what Amalek did to you. Mitzvah number two, don't forget. Mitzvah number three, Timchet Zecher Amalek, go kill them. And after that, we're going to read next Shabbat, it's called Parashat Zachor, it's about Shmuel HaNavi went and appointed Shaul HaMelech, that was called the first Mashiach, to go destroy Amalek. Go destroy this nation. And then Nabi will tell you that after I will read it, that Shaul HaMelech went and he drafted 200,000 people and they went to kill Amalek, and he had some mercy on some animals, some people, the king, and because he had mercy, HaKadosh Baruch Hu came to Shmuel HaNavi already before Shaul returned from the war, and he told him, listen, this man, forget about it. I don't want it. I don't want him. I gave up on him. Shmuel HaNavi is going to cry the whole night, and in the morning Shaul is going to come back from the war, and Shmuel will tell him, listen, let me tell you, you finished the job, you're no more king, it's over with you. Hashem doesn't want you, because you got so-called disgusted with Hashem's command. So what did I do? He says, Hashem told you, I told you, go destroy Amalek, you had mercy on the ladies, you had mercy on the children, you had mercy on the sheep, you had mercy on the king. So, okay, nothing happened. I do it now. What do you mean? I have mercy, so? Let's go down. Shmuel said, listen, finish. So the Navi will tell you that Shaul asked Shmuel, said, come, don't embarrass me in front of everybody. And the Navi will tell you that Shaul asked Shmuel, can you bow down with me together on the floor? And everybody will say, oh, ho, ho. And Shmuel said, I don't bow down with you, forget about it. You're finished. Finished, and then David is going to come into the picture. He says, that's so-called the destruction of the kingdom of Shaul HaMelech, which was called the first Mashiach. And what happened? He didn't kill Amalek. So what do you mean he didn't kill Amalek? He killed Amalek now. So? I'll kill him now. I didn't think it's so important. So? I lost the kingdom completely. Not to say that this is important or not. That's halacha in the Gemara and the Rambam. You should know that the Mashiach will come. It says, we'll collect all of Israel. After he collects all of Israel, he's going to have to go look for Amalek. So who is Amalek? We don't know who is Amalek. You know how important it is. And this is off the record. He's going to put this on the site. I hope not. You know, about 4 years ago, so my children live in Lakewood, New Jersey. And one of the people over there, apparently in the yeshiva in Lakewood, was driving his car, and a couple, elderly people, drove the car, and they didn't stop in the stop sign. They didn't stop in the stop sign, so that person crashed into them, and they both died. They both died, and the two elderly people, and police came. This is police report, of course, is clean. They didn't stop in the stop sign. They're dead. So he's home, and you know, they weren't Jewish, but still, you know, still, even if you're not Jew, so what? So what? He's a human being. He goes home, he's depressed, he doesn't want to eat, he can't afford to sleep. You know, he killed two people, it's not a joke. So it's, again, it wasn't his fault, but still, you murder her by mistake. And two old people you killed. So it goes like this few months. That he's depressed, he doesn't want to go to learn yeshiva, he doesn't want to go to outside the house. He goes and he has some sour taste. So one of the people in yeshiva said, you know, he's going to Israel, he's going to ask Afkanievsky in Bnei Brak, what to do with this boy? You know, he has children and wife. So he told Afkanievsky, you know, the guy drove the car, and the two elderly people, you know, they didn't stop in the stop sign. It was not his fault at all, it's not a mistake or something. It's their fault, he stopped, and the police came and they saw the guy is clean. But Chaim Kanievsky said, you know what? How do you know they're not Amalek, those two people? The guy came back to America and went to the house of this guy, and the one that drove the car, and said, you know, I went to Chaim Kanievsky, Nebak, it's a holy man. And he said, you know, that's a mitzvah to kill Amalek. Maybe those two goyim were Amalek inside the car. The guy, you know, said, I think it's a joke or something. Amalek. You go tell somebody on the street, you know, somebody was killed on the street, Amalek. My son calls me up from Lakewood. He says, you won't believe. Since they put the house for sale, a realtor came and did open house on those couple that died. They live in Lakewood. And they made an open house. An open house, so a lot of people went inside the house. They said, they found in the house in the living room a pile of neo-Nazi newspapers. This is really Amalek. The Chaim Kanievsky in Israel said maybe it was Amalek. It was Amalek. It's a mitzvah. It's a mitzvah to destroy Amalek. Of course, you can't go on the street and see who is Amalek. You don't know who is Amalek at all. But you see, it happened to be that this Chaim Kanievsky is Ruach HaKodesh. They said maybe it was Amalek. It was Amalek. The whole house was full of neo-Nazi newspapers. I said, this is the mitzvah that we have. This is what we're going to take the Torah next week. We're going to read about him. He says, what is really behind it? If Hashem hates him, let Hashem destroy him. Now he says, you should know that you always have to go back to the roots to see what caused something. He says, you know, Am Israel came out of Egypt. He says, Amalek arrived. You know what really, why did he arrive? So the Gemara says that it's really our fault. That our grandfather, Yaakov, stole the blessing, the bracha, from Esau. And Esau was very upset. Esau cried. Esau screamed. And Esau told his son, Eliphaz, we have to get even with the Jews, with Yaakov. And Eliphaz told his son, Amalek, listen, Yaakov is going down to Egypt, good for him. One day they're going to be released from there. Because our grandfather Abraham was told by HaKadosh Baruch Hu, it's not forever. You make sure when they come out of Egypt, they're going to go to Israel. On the way, attack them. But the attack of Amalek on the Jews was so-called also an attack of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. They make fun of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. They said certain things, they did certain things, but really the cause of it, the cause, is Yaakov Avinu. Says the Zohar has a complaint about Yaakov Avinu. The Zohar also said that every war that the Jewish people have to fight against something, the enemy always has some officers that really, the heritage is all the way up from Esau. Because Yaakov should not have done the way he did. God dressed like Esav and he tricked Yitzchak Avinu. It's true, says the Zohar, that Chas v'Shalom Esav should have gotten the blessing. But nevertheless, Yaakov should not have done it that way. And Esav is very upset. And that's what the Gemara says, that's why Amalek arrived. And he arrived because of you, because you did not behave. So this is the root of the problem. And therefore, that Amalek, when he arrived, it was so bad that HaKadosh Baruch Hu himself says, you know, these people, Amalek, that really that cursed HaKadosh Baruch Hu, they made fun of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, HaKadosh Baruch Hu so-called got embarrassed from them. And the Gemara says that HaKadosh Baruch Hu's name is split, like HaKadosh Baruch Hu's chair is broken, is because of that Amalek. But who did it really? It's we did it. This is because Amalek is here just because to take revenge what we did. That's really our responsibility. Our responsibility for the embarrassment of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So called Amalek, besides that he's trying to kill us, so he's embarrassing HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Of course you cannot embarrass HaKadosh Baruch Hu, but still you could do something against HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's what people do. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu is so called, being called by the angels in Shamayim, Melech Alum. He says HaKadosh Baruch Hu is a king that everybody embarrassed him downstairs, and the angel sees from upstairs what people do. He says, look, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, everybody embarrasses you, and you're quiet. But sometimes the embarrassment is so big that actually HaKadosh Baruch Hu got hurt, if you may say. He got insulted very much. And he got very much insulted with Amalek, but again, it's not Amalek, it's us. It says Amalek arrived not because he hated HaKadosh Baruch Hu so much, he hated us so much, and again, because we acted bad because we stole the blessing. By the way, the blessings that we took from Esau Yitzchak gave Yaakov was that Yaakov should be the head, and everybody should bow down to Yaakov, and Yaakov should be rich. Of course, this was never fulfilled. Never. It was never fulfilled. Just the opposite. When you see the Megillah, you understand the whole thing. That Haman is a descendant of this guy Amalek. He is the richest one in the world. You know what it means? It means the blessing that was given to Yaakov never was accomplished. Instead, Haman, he so-called got the blessing. Out of nowhere, Ahasuerus is going to call Haman and he's going to tell him, you're going to be the head of the government. And he says, what me? No experience. He says, well, says the Gemara, says Shlomo HaMelech, when a king does something, it's not because he wants it. Lev melachim v'sarim b'yad Hashem. This is the hands of Hashem. Hashem puts the guy in Washington what to do. Don't think it's his decision anymore. Until you become a president, yes. When you become a president, you also already, you handcuffs. It says you a POW by HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It's a Hashem's cause out of nowhere. Haman, he has no experience, he doesn't know nothing. He used to be a barber. He used to watch the horses. Nothing. But can you imagine when Nebuchadnezzar Mach Shumo takes his army, sends his army with Nebuchadnezzar to Bet HaMikdash, Haman goes inside and finds all the treasures of all the kings, puts in a wagon, and he's the richest one in the world. He says, what is the reason? How come he found it? Because he represents his great grandfather Esau, because he's direct descendant. Excuse me, of Esav. And Esav should have gotten the blessing from Yitzchak. So Yaakov took the blessing. He says, now you read the text of the blessing. The blessing said, you should be very rich. You should be the head. Everybody's going to bow down to you. But look, this is perfect description of this guy, Haman. He is the richest one in the world. That's what really Yaakov got the bracha. But again, Yaakov's bracha was never fulfilled. Because we didn't behave. So if you didn't behave, the Torah says, "Vayak asher tarid ufakta olomal tzavarecha." It says, "Yitzchak told Esav, don't worry about it. I gave him the blessing, but the blessing is only—it's only if he will behave. If he doesn't behave, you get it. Here you got it. Here it is, Haman." Haman stands up. It says he said he wants to kill all the Jewish people. It says, "You know why he wants to kill you? He wants to kill you because your great grandfather." Stole the blessing from his great grandfather. He is Amalek. He is here. That's what he does. Not only this, he said HaKadosh Baruch Hu is old. He says the embarrassing HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the same thing like his grandfather did. He says, but he is so called on the horse right now because we don't behave. We didn't behave in the first Beit HaMikdash. We still didn't behave so called in the transition between the first and the second Beit HaMikdash. A lot of Jewish people got married to non-Jewish ladies. They had the chutzpah to bring them to the second Beit HaMikdash. When the second Beit HaMikdash was opened up, Ezra HaSofer was standing over there on the stage and he gave a speech and he says, who is this? He said, that's my wife. He says, what's her name? He says, Pantomima. What do you mean Fatima? What do you mean Fatima? She's not even Jewish. He said, that's true. I got married to her. He says, the Gemara, the Jewish ladies used to stand and cry at the corners of Beit HaMikdash. He says, my husband neglected me. He left me. He got married to a shikze. Finished. Never behaved. He said, never behaved here, Haman. That's the story of the Megillah. He says, Mordechai knows the truth. The truth is that according to the calendar, it's in the same time. He says, the time that Yaakov so-called took the blessings, so-called says, stole the blessing from Esau, was the night of Pesach. The night of Pesach, it happened. But Yitzchak called Esav and said, listen, Esav, tonight is the night of Pesach, I want to give you a blessing. And that night, Yaakov took it. That night now in the Megillah, they're going to do Tani. They're going to do Tani 3 days. For the first time, so-called the eight. What do you mean eight? Yaakov gave food to Yitzchak. Yaakov gave wine to Yitzchak. But it says, now Esther said, listen, you have to fast for 3 days. For the first day is to repair the night that Yaakov gave food to Yitzchak, and via the food he took and he stole the blessings. And that's what we have this Haman against us. And the second day, says the brothers sold Yosef and they had a feast. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, that's another reason why Haman is here. And the third day, says the Gemara, is because you went to the party of Achashverosh. And you have to do the fast on Pesach. There was no Pesach that day. Because you have to repair what happened originally on the first Pesach, that Yaakov, so-called, took the blessings from Esav, wearing Esav's clothing. And here, says Ari, Mordechai comes to repair it. Mordechai comes, he's going to tear his clothing, he's going to come to the palace, and says he doesn't stand up for Esav, for Haman. And he says, why? It says, because what Amalek did really embarrassed HaKadosh Baruch. You have to protest to demonstrate how much you love HaKadosh Baruch. So Haman is going to pass on the street. Mordechai stands up and says, why are you standing up here? Why don't you disappear when Haman comes? He says, don't understand. I have to repair. It's called Zachor et Asher Asa Lecha Amalek. He says, next Shabbat you take the Torah out. He says, listen, remember Amalek. He says, what Amalek did? Amalek chased me. No, it's true. But if you read the paragraph in Parashat B'Shalach, it says the text. It says Hashem hates this nation, and Mashiach will have to destroy that nation. And Shaul HaMelech was asked to destroy that nation, and because he didn't, Hashem gave up on him. He says, "What is behind it?" He says, "That nation are the nation, the first one that embarrassed HaKadosh Baruch." He says, "Let's see really if you can repair it. If you repair it, it says you repair what Yaakov did." He says, you know why they embarrassed HaKadosh Baruch Hu? Because Yaakov stole the blessing. He says, what is your job on this world? It's to repair it. Otherwise you have Haman. Haman is the richest guy, the guy in the world. Haman is the head of the government. Everybody is flat on the floor to Haman. He says, you know why? Because this was really the blessing of Yitzchak to Yaakov. But this was never fulfilled. Because you don't behave. So he is going to go. So you know what he's going to do? He wants to kill you. Why he wants to kill me? Why he wants to kill me? He wants to kill me because I'm a grandson of my grandfather. That my grandfather, he stole the blessing. So, no. Because he stole the blessings, therefore his grandson embarrassed HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So now it's our obligation to repair so-called this embarrassment. And by the way, the Zohar said, you should know this is how important Kaddish is. When you say Amen Yeshme Itgadal Kadash Merabah, that's what it means. Hashem's name should get bigger and should be holier. And then the power of Amen Yesh Merabah, the Gemara says that if somebody says Amen Yesh Merabah and he screamed it and he has the Kavana, Hashem tears all the Gezerot from him. He says, what is this Amen Yesh Merabah that you say in Kaddish? When Shulchan Aruch says, don't you dare to speak in Kaddish. That's how important, what's important about it? Because that's the Zohar says that you repair so-called the embarrassment of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Hashem was embarrassed. He says, now what you got to do is to take away this embarrassment. How you take the embarrassment back? It says by doing Kiddush Hashem, by protesting. It says, I'm a believer, I believe in Hashem, I do things for Hashem. It says this is really what Mordechai's job is all about. Mordechai wants to be perfect. And therefore Kadosh Baruch Hu says, you know what? You want to repair it, here it is. Haman is gonna come, he's gonna be the richest guy, he's gonna be the head of the government. Everybody's going to be flat on the floor for him. And he'll pass on the street. Mordechai doesn't budge. So why didn't he budge? He says, because I have to do Kiddush Hashem, because the man has a statue. He says, I have to protest. He says, well, I can hide. So if I can hide, I don't so-called make HaKadosh Baruch Hu's name bigger and bigger. He says, the necessity to make Hashem's bigger is to repair so-called the damage that was done by Amalek, but the damage was caused by us when we took the blessings. And this really, Ari says, this is the next week, next Shabbat, Parashat Zachor, that's what really people should have in mind. He says, remember Amalek, remember Amalek. What remember Amalek? Remember Amalek that embarrassed HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Therefore the Navi will tell you that Shmuel was told by HaKadosh Baruch Hu, I gave up on Shaul. He said, why did you give up on him? He said, we didn't kill the ladies, didn't kill the people, didn't kill the sheep. So we'll kill them now. He said, don't understand. The concept is that you have to protest for HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's what Mashiach, the Gemara says, we have to kill this nation, Amalek. This is because they embarrassed HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Let's see if you worry about Hashem. That's because it's your responsibility. Because you caused it. Because the damage was done because of you, because you stole the blessings. And that's really what the Megillah is going to tell you. This is, you know, this what you read in the Megillah, it says, it's true, they went to the party, it's true, they bowed down to the statue. It says, well, what is the root? The root is called embarrassing of Kadosh Baruch Hu. You have to protest. So Mordechai is called the hero of Megillat Esther, that he wants to rebuild again the name of Kadosh Baruch Hu and to fix so-called the chair of Kadosh Baruch Hu. That's why when the Aryan says the Purim is such a special holiday that will stay forever, that shines back till Rosh Chodesh. If you be away, you're allowed to read the Megillah from Rosh Chodesh. This is some kind of a holiday. This is the reason for that holiday, because this holiday was as a repair job for Hashem's name. That's why you can't find Hashem's name in the Megillah. Never. This is not even once Hashem's name appears over there. This is because that's what the Megillah is all about. Megillah wants to tell you there's no Hashem's name. This is because Amalek destroyed Hashem's name. Amalek so-called destroyed the chair of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And this is what Mordechai is trying to do. And this is the Megillah, I will tell you, this is they're going to have Purim every year. And what's Purim all about? It says, Baruch Hashem, that we had such a person, his name was Mordechai, that tries so-called to protest, that he is not afraid what people will say, he's not afraid of Haman, he's not afraid of Ahasuerus. This is the guy at the statue. At the statue, I don't bow down to him. This is the king said, big deal, I don't listen to the king. Because I have to so-called make Hashem's name greater and bigger as the Kaddish does. He says, that's what the Megillah is going to tell you. He says, Esther, listen, Esther, I want you to go to Ahasuerus. I said, what do you mean you want to go to Ahasuerus? He said, you have to pray, you don't understand. For the last few years, Ahasuerus asked Esther, what nationality you have? Esther said, I have no idea. I don't remember, I was born an orphan. I have no nationality. He says, now, Mordechai tells her, you know, you go to Ahasuerus, you say you're Jewish. So you know what Ahasuerus would say? He says, execution immediately. Oh, is this a joke? No, you, my wife, a few years, I asked you, where are you from? He says, I have no idea. He says, were you born in Hawaii? Where's your birth certificate? She says, nothing. She said nothing. When you said nothing? He says, now Mordechai says, you know what? That's called protesting for Hashem. Until now he said, you don't know who you are. Now you go, you say, I'm Jewish. I said, what can happen? He'll kill you. You protest, you're a Jew. That's what happened in the Holocaust. The real Jewish people in the Holocaust, they didn't cry when they went to the chambers. They laughed. They were dancing with the Torah into the chambers. In Kelem, in Russia. When the Nazis came, they took the Jewish people, they were dancing. They danced on the street. He said, Baruch Hashem, they're going to kill me because I'm a Jew. Yeah, for Hashem. Perfect. I'm happy for this. He said that one of the big tzaddikim, when the Rebbe Migur's brothers, he says, on the way to the chambers, he told the Nazi, if you give me a cup of water, then I don't know if you believe in Olam Haba, don't believe in Olam Haba, but I'm telling you, I'm having Olam Haba, I'm giving you half of my Olam Haba if you give me a cup of water. So the German, I don't know if he believed or didn't believe, he gave him a cup of water. So he took the cup of the guy is thirsty, he's going to drink it. He washed his hands. He asked him, what are you doing? He says, I need a cup to wash my hands because I'm like a sacrifice now. And it can be a sacrifice to Kadosh Baruch Hu if your hands are dirty. I went to the bathroom and I want to wash my hands. So now I'm going to the chambers. I want to feel that I'm a sacrifice to Kadosh Baruch Hu. That's I'm going to the chambers. So thank you for the water. The water is just to prepare myself, so-called to be executed, to be a sacrifice to Kadosh Baruch Hu. That's the biggest thing for me. So this is what Mordechai tells Esther. Listen, what you have to do, you have to do a repair job for the embarrassment what Hashem got from Amalek. It's not from Amalek, it's from us. Because we stole the bracha. We so-called embarrassed HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So you have to repair it. It says, here we went to the party of Ahasuerus. We didn't even have a party. It was dishes of Bet HaMikdash on the table. And we stayed over there. It says, we also bow down to the statue of Nebuchadnezzar made the statue. All this, it's not a major sin, but it's called embarrassment for HaKadosh Baruch Hu. You, all your life, you have a mitzvah, one of the 630 mitzvahs called Kiddush Hashem. It says you have always so-called to protest for Hashem, to say, I'm a Jew. You have to behave like a Jew. This is why I have to? This is a goy doesn't have to. A goy doesn't have to, but you have to. Because you caused the first embarrassment to Kadosh Baruch Hu, what Amalek did. It says that's what Chachamim said the week, the Shabbat before Purim. You take the Torah out, you read about Amalek. So what do you read about Amalek? I said, I tell you, I read it in the Torah and then I read the Haftarah. that Shaul was commanded by Shmuel and Navi, by Hashem, that he should destroy Amalek. It's a test to see if you worry about HaKadosh Baruch Hu or you worry about public relation. What the nations will say. It says, this nation embarrassed HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It says, embarrassed HaKadosh Baruch Hu because of me. It says, I have to take take the revenge in order so-called to repair the damage that was done. I said, that's the whole story about Purim. That Mordechai so-called understood what the job has to be. The job, in order to ask you, what you want to do? You're Jewish. What do you want to do? This is what I want to do. It's Gedalvet Kadash. That's what I want to be. So what do you want to be when you grow up? In America, you say fireman. This is what you have to say. What I want to do, what the Megillah says. By the way, the Gemara says, you should know, Hashem, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, when we said Naaseh V'Nishma, and we got 10 commandments, says the Gemara, at that moment HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave Moshe Rabbeinu two things. Megillat Esther, Megillat Bet HaMikdash. Mordechai had in his pocket the Megillat Esther. It was transferred to him already by his Rebbe, from Yoshua Ben Nun, from Moshe Rabbeinu. Gemara Yerushalmi says it. Hashem told Moshe, I mean, it's going to be one time, and it's going to be Mordechai. And then Mordechai, and it's going to be Haman. I hope Am Yisrael will do Teshuvah. If not, this is the Megillah for you to know. By the way, I'll give you also the specification how to build Beit HaMikdash. That was given to Moshe Rabbeinu right after the Ten Commandments. This is because it's called, this is the repair job. This is Parashah, we're going to read this Shabbat, Parashah Truma. He says, let me tell you something. You have to give a donation from your heart to the Mishkan. What Shlomo did was wrong. That he put so-called taxes on the people, duty on the people to give donation to Beit HaMikdash. Appointed the person, his name was Adoniram. He says, forget about it, you don't understand. It's a test for you. It's a test for you when you give a donation to build Beit HaMikdash to see how much you love HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And this is to repair so-called the damage that was done by Amalek. As the damage was done by Amalek, that he embarrassed HaKadosh Baruch Hu, it was because of us. The repair is a test. How much you protest for Hashem, how much you love Him. And that's what the Torah says, HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants you to build Beit HaMikdash. See, he doesn't need it. Hashem is everywhere. Hashem wants, it's a test for you, to see what you do for Him. You care for Hashem, of course, I love Hashem. This is what you do for Him. So you see, what Mordechai does. He's going to give his life. This is going to give her life. He says, to protest, to fight for HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that's the repair job for Hashem's embarrassment. Hashem told Moshe Rabbeinu, listen, he came from Har Sinai. Hashem told him, tell them to build Beit HaMikdash for me, but donation, not a do, not by force. This is then it's a test. Let's see if they respect me. If they respect me, they love me, it's a repair what the grandfather did. What the grandfather did that caused Amalek to embarrass me, this is the test. And that's what the Gemara says, you should know Mashiach will come, Purim will stay forever, because Mordechai, this is his goal in life, is for us to know what is all about the Purim. So that's what Chachamim say. The Gemara says, you should know the month of Adar, if somebody has a court case, it passed the red light, forgot to stop in a stop sign, he was on the phone, and he had no seatbelt, they postponed it for this month. This month, the policeman will not come, the judge will dismiss it. Commercial? Case will be dismissed. Huh? If you believe, Farsi, you Farsi? Yes. Yeah. The Gemara says you win a court case. The Gemara says, but neither also Farsi. Yeah. You win a court case this month. Says, what is the power of this month? It's the holiday of Purim. Why you have to win it? Because this is the month that we repair and we protest for HaKadosh Baruch Hu. You have to say Amen Yerushmi Rabbah in the Beit HaKnesset with all your strength, with the Kavanah, Hashem's name should be the greatest. Then you repair the damage, the embarrassment of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Then Hashem waves all the Gezerot, says the Gemara. Says the Gemara, if somebody says Amen Yerushmi Rabbah, even though Hashem decided Chas Shalom, he'll go visit Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai, In Shamayim, it says Hashem will waive the Gezerah. I says, what is Amen Yesh Merabah so great? So he says, Amen Yesh Merabah means destroy Amalek, repair the name of HaKadosh Baruch. So this is how you fix so-called, the original so-called misbehavior of Yaakov Avinu that happened on Chodesh Nisan and Yom Pesach. And therefore Mordechai and Esther are rushing to cancel the Gezerah now, the month of Nisan, even though the Gezerah will be another 11 months. It says there's no time to wait because we have to do the repair job on the same month that the mistake was done. The mistake was done on the first night of Pesach, that Jacob so-called took the blessing from Esau. It says that night Esther said to Mordechai, nobody should eat, nobody should drink, because Jacob gave food to Yitzchak and he gave him wine to Yitzchak. It says don't eat, don't drink wine, do tani 3 days, and I go to the king and I say I'm Jewish. The Achashverosh will look at me and say, well, you're Jewish? Now you're telling me you're Jewish? Execution. He killed his first wife for nothing. Of course he's going to kill Esther. Because she protested for Am Yisrael, it's called Kiddush Hashem. It says, for Kiddush Hashem, Hashem will waive the Gezerah. Of course it's a miracle that happened, that whole thing will happen. But the miracle stands on repair job, that we have to repair Hashem's name, Hashem's chair. It says the dignity of HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to rise because of our behavior. And this is the Gemara says, Mashiach will come, yes. But you should know that Mashiach has a job. Mashiach has to destroy Amalek. Amalek is because it's a test. It's a test to see if he really wants Hashem's embarrassment to go away. It says, by you running after this person embarrassed HaKadosh Baruch Hu, because you, of course, you caused it. But actually, he embarrassed HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Then Mashiach will be Bet HaMikdash. After the Bet HaMikdash comes, after so-called Hashem's and Hashem's name and Hashem's chair is going to be repaired, then this is the job of the Mashiach. The Megillah, this is what the Megillah tells you. Mordechai wants to be Bet HaMikdash. Bet HaMikdash, he says, first Bet HaMikdash, you have to get rid of Amalek. Hashem will show you who is Amalek. He says, Haman, the richest guy in the world. Everybody respects him. He's head of the government. Everybody is flat on the floor. He says, he is, you know why he is? Because Am Yisrael don't behave. But Mordechai, as individual, says the Zohar, wants to fight this guy and to show everybody what we got to do in this world is to make Hashem's name bigger. The Mashiach will come.
Amen.
Amen.
Why can't you be Mekayim in the midst of Timche Zecher Amalek without hearing the parsha, like you are with the Sefer Yetzias Mitzrayim when you have a Seder?
Yeah, so that's what we do. We read it. I mean, why you have to read the Torah? I mean, why you have to take the Torah?
Yeah, why can't you do it at home?
At home, yeah.
Can you?
Yeah. That's the only time that you really have to take the Torah out from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Because the Torah is a sign that you respect HaKadosh Baruch Hu.
Maximum.